morning, everybody. Tuesday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Jensen and Reese catching up after a wild night of NHL Stanley Cup playoff action, buddy. The Avs are staying alive.
Yeah, I was flipping channels last night, Pete, trying desperately not to miss anything from the double OT game. But I had to say, I was so impressed, Pete, with the way that the Colorado Avalanche came out in the first period last night and absolutely looked like the team that we got accustomed to this season.
Yeah, and we had the group text going with Davey, and of course we got the crazy news that Ben Bishop all of a sudden was fit to play, and then the Avs were down to their third stringer. So on paper, you're not feeling so great about what we were talking about earlier in the show yesterday, right, about how hammer the Avs, I was saying. Oh, Bobby was talking about puck line. We were talking about their bounce back appeal. All of a sudden on paper, it looks like your worst nightmare. And then Hutchinson goes out there and gets the win in his first playoff start. Amazing.
Well, yeah, not only congratulations to Michael Hutchinson, who has more wins than Freddie Anderson, almost basically now in the postseason. But really, Pete, like when you look at this for Dallas, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm kind of scratching my head now because they did elect to put Ben Bishop in there, which seemed like a good play in hindsight. Like I felt pretty comfortable that Dallas would be able to close that out with him in net. But now that he had a bad showing, do you go back to Ben Bishop and say, hey, that was an anomaly? Or do you go back to Khudobin, who's kind of gotten him to this point so far in the postseason?
You have to go back to Khudobin, and I'm worried personally. I mean, I picked the Avs, but like I can appreciate what the Stars have put together here and what they did to earn the 3-1 series lead. But we were talking about it, how Khudobin has allowed 14 goals going into the game yesterday. I think he allowed two yesterday, so 16 through five games and one appearance there at the end. So yeah, the confidence I feel like might be a little shaken in the Dallas goaltending. I don't think you can go back to Ben Bishop. To be honest, I think Ben Bishop's fantasy value is put on hold a little bit right now. So you go back to Khudobin in game six, you try to right the ship, but like we've been saying all along, if this baby gets to game seven, watch out for that Avalanche top line. I don't think the Stars are winning a game seven. So like this is their chance for Dallas to finish the series in six, I think.
I was going to say this, I just do want to see though, Pete, I want to see this go seven games. I think these two teams play such a different style than each other that it would be such a fun atmosphere to see a game seven out of this series. I do have a weird feeling though, this Dallas team can have some resilience. They can have some bounce back appeal. I wouldn't say it's a hammer job for them in game six, but I do like what we saw, that they made a little bit of a late game push. Their power play looked pretty good last night, Pete, for the most part, right? Like they still have a lot of those underlying signs that suggest that they should be able to close this series out. I think what you said though is most important. If this does go seven games, I mean, how could you on paper bet against Nate MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Gabe Landeskog, and now Cale Makar, who looks like he's going to be a Norris finalist every year for the next 5 years? How could you bet against that team?
Right, and the expectations have been high all season for Colorado. It kind of like took a dip when they had so many injuries. And of course, you know, going into the regular playoffs, they would have been decimated. Who knows how far they would have gone. And then, of course, with the pause and everything, they got fully healthy. Some more injuries now, but this is a clash between two teams that made it to, both of them made it to game sevens last year of the second round. So they both have that motivation to get over the hump after everything we've talked about through the year, right? Jamie Benn missing the wraparound, Colorado maybe getting an unfortunate break with that offsides call with Landeskog. So like all that's in the back of their mind, and if it goes to seven, it'll be a real treat considering we haven't had a seven yet.
Well, one thing that Dallas, I think, is an easy adjustment for them to make is blocking shots. They only had single-digit blocks last night. You gotta throw the body out there a little bit more. This is what gets you a win. Ask the New York Islanders, Pete. How do you win an elimination game? You lay your body out on the line, not only in hitting, but in blocking shots. For this Dallas Stars team, eight block shots against the Colorado Avalanche, and their offense is not going to cut it. Meanwhile, Colorado had 25 last night. You got to block shots. You got to give Khudobin a better chance. You got to give Bishop a better chance.
Guys, what did we expect here? It was 3-1. That was the series. It's off a back-to-back. Am I really all that concerned about Dallas coming out flat a little bit? I mean, what are they supposed to do, win every single game? They're not going to win every single game, folks. I think you have to be a little concerned about the way they lost, the fact that they were blown out of the water. But they'll right the ship. They'll steady the ship. They have a 3-1 series lead. They go into a back-to-back. They get their doors blown off. So you regroup. Rick Bonus said, listen, we got to regroup. We'll get ready to go, and we'll win the series. I'm concerned with the Avalanche if Mike Hutchinson is going to get another start, because you know what? I just don't think they win the series with Hutchinson in net.
That's really fair. I mean, Francois's now unfit to play too, and Grubauer's already out. So how far can they get with a third stringer? They got a nice surprise. I mean, one game, but yeah, to get two games is a big challenge. I think the key thing here is that they reminded themselves that they can score quick strike just like the Dallas Stars could all series long. And they kind of like rediscovered that form that, remember in the regular season, they had like 6 goals in an 8-minute span. Like they had 4 goals in a 2.5-minute span yesterday. So like they rediscovered that they have that capability, not only in general after the pause, but like against these Dallas Stars, which is key to their confidence for the next two games.
Absolutely. The last thing that I'll say about this game, or this series in particular, is that, yeah, they can't go on without Francois. I mean, they are not going to be able to get away with starting a third-rate goalie in Michael Hutchinson. It's just not going to get them a series W against a team like the Dallas Stars, who we noted, we've said it over and over, they look night and day from their form over the regular season. So, yeah, I agree. I think Bob makes a good point. I know you're strong on that, Bob, and I agree. I would say, hey, if you're going to bet on this next game, go with Dallas, have them bounce back. The only thing, Bob, I just have to put out there that I'm a little worried about is the goaltending quote-unquote controversy now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we tend to overreact game to game, and so I'm trying to stay steady, but I'm as guilty as anyone overreacting game to game. Listen, the Avalanche got themselves back into the series a bit, 3-2, but it's just human nature. It's just so difficult. I'll say it again. They were up 3-1. They're playing off a back-to-back. If they weren't playing off a back-to-back, I would be a little bit more concerned, but really tough to get your juices going when you take a 3-1 lead and then you have a back-to-back. And Bishop, yeah, I am a little concerned. Bishop, they're going to need Bishop in the long run here. I really do believe that. I think it was a little rust more than anything. I think Bishop's a pretty good goaltender. I think we could all agree he's a very good goaltender. But when you don't play games and all of a sudden you're dropped into a playoff atmosphere, and on top of that, your team in front of you is taking a snooze, it's very tough.
It's true. And yeah, when you're talking about either of Dallas's goaltenders for game 6 or for game 7 individually, like they're both better options by far than Michael Hutchinson. So that's one thing that Dallas can fall back on and feel a little bit more confident about what they have moving forward. And yeah, I just think that like Colorado, like they're getting the performances from their top guys every single night. And we even saw something really good from Burakovsky, right? And Rob, I know he's been money in elimination games. So that's something maybe you can continue to ride for these next couple of games for the DFS standpoint. Burakovsky, another one of those guys that has really paid dividends after joining the Avalanche.
And sorry, I was out of commission here early in the program because I had some tech issues. But Pete, earlier in the evening when he found out Hutchinson was starting, Rob, he texted me and was like, series over. I mean, he was so down on Michael Hutchinson. Just, I mean, you didn't even give him a shot, Pete Hutchinson. I mean, that says all you need to know about Michael Hutchinson's past and his pedigree. I mean, he's not a quality goaltender.
And I hope that you didn't see those texts, anybody, that if you were betting on the Avalanche, because of course, you know, what we said in the show yesterday, like we said, was money in the bank. But if you saw that little glimmer right before the game started during warmups, you're like, this is a nightmare here.
Well, I'm going to tee up game 6 pick here. I'm going to go with the Dallas Stars. I don't know what it is about this team, but I have a hard time betting against them, Pete. I don't care who's starting in net. There's been a lot of wonky things to happen this postseason. I'm going to put my trust in Rick Bonus, which I never thought I'd be saying on the air, no matter what program I'm on, but I'm saying it. I'm going to go with Dallas. I honestly think Bob made some really solid points this morning about it just being a back-to-back. We see this too, Pete, in previous postseasons, right, where a team will get a 3-1 lead, and then they'll take a little bit to put their clamp back down and get it, right? It's very hard to close that out. So maybe some things will go more their way. Maybe they'll block some more shots, and maybe they'll be willing to put their body on the line a little bit more in game 6.
Excuse me, I should know this, but is 6 and 7 back-to-back? No, right?
I don't think so.
Because I know the Bruins and Lightning 6 and 7 back to back, but Dallas, Colorado, not the case.
I can check it. I know that, like, the Vegas.
You guys talk. Let me check. You guys talk. Let me check. You could move on
Vegas,
to the next
Vancouver,
series.
Vegas, Vancouver, if it goes to 6 to 7, I know those are back to back. I don't think I saw that for the Avalanche, but yeah, I think, you know, with Colorado here, like, you're going to have to, before you wager on anything, you got to wait and see if maybe by some miracle Grubauer is ready or if Francois is ready. If not, then yeah, like Robbie's saying, Dallas is probably the pick in game 6 because they're going to have the urgency and they kind of like riled everybody up. I know, like, I was looking at a lot of the mentions for that team last night and everybody was playing like, you know, hindsight 2020. Like, why did you start Ben Bishop? Like, Right. Come on, he's Ben Bishop. He's one of the five best goalies in the league. Did anybody expect him to give up that many goals? Maybe he's rusty. You know, the defense wasn't great in front of him. You have to say that too. So, like you mentioned, Rob, they weren't blocking shots. They weren't getting in the lanes.
They weren't into the game. They weren't into the game from the word go. It is not a back-to-back scenario. So they'll play game 6 on Wednesday, and then they'll play game 7 if there is a game 7 on Friday. So, Robbie, move us forward. You're the only man in the room here thinking rationally. Move us forward here. Where are we going? What do you got? What are you thinking? He's got the background, everybody. So Robbie's known to have the backgrounds. He's on the beach right now. I'll tell you, it looks very nice. The waves are crashing behind you. All you need is a Corona, Robbie, and life is good, huh?
I feel great right now. I really feel like I'm at the beach with this crystal clear Zoom background. But I'm swinging it to the Tampa Bay Lightning, who I have to tip my cap to. This team, guys, okay, they lost. They tie game late in the third period. David Krejci scores a goal. I'm thinking, here we go. Classic Tampa Bay meltdown. They're going to lose in overtime. Boston's top line is going to take over the series, and Boston's moving forward. No. Victor Hedman, the best defenseman in the league, had other plans. I checked the numbers this morning. I'm thinking to myself, what's different about this Tampa Bay Lightning than years past? I'll tell you what. Their 5-on-5 metrics are among the best. If it's Vegas, number one, Tampa, number two, in terms of controlling the game. The power play, look at that stat. They're firing below 18%, Pete. They're down in the bottom half of the league in the postseason. Their penalty kill has room to improve as well. This is a scary good team, and they're much different, I think, on paper statistically than in season past.
Right, and we've been praising Braden Point, rightfully so, but the lifeblood of this team, the best player on this team is Victor Hedman, and the series that he just had against the Boston Bruins, which is a tough team to score against in general, let alone as a defenseman with all, you know, the nature of their defensive play, Boston. I mean, he had 6 points in 5 games, including 4 goals as a defenseman, Victor Hedman. I mean, definite a round of applause for him. That was the best series of his NHL career. There's not much else to say. Victor Hedman, without Victor Hedman, especially last night after Kucherov got injured, that team could fall apart. And if Tampa Bay lost that game yesterday, you really would have been worried about this Kucherov status and what it would mean moving forward. Now, at least they have a couple of days to rest up and get ready for the third round. Well, they'll play either the Flyers or the Islanders.
I'm going to swing it to Boston, a little post-mortem on Boston. 5 5-on-5 goals throughout the entire series. Not going to cut it. And they had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Power play at the end of the game. Power play earlier in the game. I mean, and they can't score 5-on-5. I mean, the Lightning really dominated both overtimes for the most part. I mean, Boston had no zone time, and 5-on-5, they just weren't generating any offense. And post-mortem on Boston, I mean, we all know it, the window's closing. They need a little bit more young depth. Torrey Krug going to be there. Is Chara going to be there? I mean, 5 goals 5-on-5 is just not going to cut it here, folks.
Well, it's concerning because, Bob, I mean, Pete and I have been saying this from a fantasy lens for the past 2 or 3 seasons. They just don't have those guys beyond the top line that really score the big goals. And what's ironic is David Krejci scored the big goal last night. But you don't see this consistently throughout the postseason. You see them get a little too reliant on their power play to come through. And then when Pasta only finishes with 3 goals in 10 games in the playoffs, it's like somehow that's not good enough for Boston anymore. You have to have him be up there 5, 6, 7 goals, which is Ovi status, and Pasta's just not there yet. And you cannot build a team like that. You can't rely on that player to score every single night.
And Vasilevsky was excellent. I mean, they had peppered him with shots. I mean, that was the difference. Vasilevsky shut the door and wasn't going to lose the game last night. And the folks they picked up. So Kasha, did he have a goal all postseason long? I don't think he scored a goal. I mean, I watched every single game. I don't think he scored a goal. So they went out and got someone to hopefully generate offense in the playoffs. He didn't do it. He didn't score any goals. I mean, you're right, Rob. You can't be that reliant on one line. And Krejci's unbelievable. Krejci's a hell of a player. I mean, that assist he had on the Pastrnak goal, that was incredible. That was a thing of beauty.
Well, that's why you have to go get David Krejci, a better player than Andre Kasha, for his wing. Why can't you get a proven 25, 30-goal scorer on that wing? Jake DeBrusk, Pete, another thing that we've been saying, is so streaky this guy is. He'll have two goals in two games, and then he'll go five games without a shot on net, right? So you got to get David Krejci some help, and you can't be putting all your chips on this top line. They did build through centers, which is a proven model to win, but you cannot have inconsistent wings on your second and then their third line. I couldn't even tell you who suited up alongside Charlie Coyle on the third line last night.
Yeah, this team is still a piece away from winning the Cup. Of course, they're all another year older now. Chara might be done with them. Tuukka Rask has 1 year left on his deal, but with how everything transpired, you don't know what his future holds. And yet Krug is the UFA after this season. So there will be some changes. If Krug is gone, they're going to have a hole on defense now. One bright spot for Boston is that, like, coming into the pause, after the pause in the season, right, they were the best team in the NHL. And then this kind of affected things like the Rask thing and a couple other dominoes. So they're not that far away, but the clock is ticking. Like, the window is closing on the Boston Bruins, you know?
Well, they'll be competitive in the regular season next year for sure, no matter what happens, no matter who departs, whatever. Mm-hmm. They will be. But what I'm concerned about, and I guess I'm not concerned about it as much more I'm excited about it, as I think this is just the time in the NHL where we are shifting away from Boston. We are shifting away from Washington. We are shifting away from San Jose, from Pittsburgh. And we're ushering in a new era of hockey that we can see, Pete, is played a little bit differently than how some of those teams have won. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see teams like Toronto find their way. I'm excited to see teams like Vegas continue to really push the limit and raise the bar higher. Because let's be honest, this one-line hockey anymore is not cutting it. It's not cutting it no matter who's in net, no matter who's on defense. You got to have a balanced lineup, and Vegas is the perfect model of that. Tampa's the perfect model of that. It's going to be played a little bit differently, and especially, guys, there's an expansion draft coming up next offseason that has tons of implications for this little offseason window and for what teams can do. So pay attention to this now. It's a great opportunity, Pete, for teams like the Islanders, for teams like the Wild next year, to really, those teams that are a little bit sleepy on paper, to really make an impact and maybe get a cup or even two if the Islanders keep this thing going, Pete.
Yeah, and that new era that you were talking about, which I think is encouraging for Boston, like, David Pastrnak is one of those key top 5-10 players in the NHL that can carry the Bruins from that era, you know, the has-been era, into the future era, and compete with teams and players like McDavid and MacKinnon, who, by the way, is on a 13-game point streak, putting him up there among the best in NHL history to start off a postseason with points in 13 straight games. So, yeah, I think that Pastrnak is the one guy. I know he was underwhelming, but the guy is very young and he's played a ton of playoff action. So this guy is coming back. I mean, the Boston Bruins, even if the window's closing, they're not going away anytime soon, even if they lose a couple of guys in the offseason.
And it's funny, though, that series could have gone either way. Really, game two. I mean, it's really about game two. If Boston wins game two, they're probably winning the series. Yeah. I mean, it's going deeper, that's for sure. I mean, that's how these margins are so thin. And the Tuukka Rask thing hurt them, obviously. But no question about it, they need more depth. I'll say it over and over and over again. Rob will say it over and over and over again. Pete will say it over and over again. I mean, it's really difficult in the playoffs to be a one-line team. You need those other guys chipping in goals if you're going to go far and win a Stanley Cup. It's just that's what you need.
I got to swing it forward here to the Islanders, though. I do want to touch on that team. They're facing off against Philadelphia. They have to win this game, Pete. We've seen Alain Vigneault on the other side of the bench. He's come back before from 3-1 deficit, so he knows how to get his guys going and back in this game. I want to see the Islanders play a brand of hockey here, Pete, that really puts the clamp down and close this thing out. I do not want to see this team falter and then get into a rut, because we know they are susceptible to doing that.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the Islanders. I think they have closers on this team, whether it's Pageau, Anders Lee, you know, Bailey, Beauvillier. One note on Beauvillier, I saw he's like fourth in the NHL in shots on goal. So he's averaging like 3.5 shots on goal per game. I think he had the series clincher in one of their first two series in terms of goals. So they got a bunch of guys that have 5, 6, 7 goals that can carry them through, you know, the fight that Philly's going to put up here. I don't know that Philly is going to go out with a whimper here in game 5. You look at guys like Giroux and Konechny, you don't know what they're dealing with. They're 0-4 on the postseason. Like Giroux's 0-31, Konechny's 0-24. You expect something to come
Flyers
here.
Flyers are done.
I think they're done too, but you can't imagine, right, that these guys would go 0-4 in the whole playoffs. So maybe expect a little response, expect more of a high-scoring game, Philly to put up a fight, but I do think the Islanders will finish this thing off. I feel pretty confident about it in Game 5.
I hope it's not a high-scoring game for the New York Islanders' perspective, because I think I want to see a big game from Varlamov and lock this thing down, another standout performance, and then get a little bit of rest before the Eastern Conference Final, which against the Tampa Bay Lightning I think would be a very intriguing matchup.
I'm going to pull the tape from yesterday's show. It'll be out there in the social media world. I thought you guys had some pretty good thoughts on, you know, the Lightning and the Islanders series if we go that way. If you're betting today's game or that game specifically, please, someone make a case for Philly for me, because I just can't do it. You can't do it other than the fact, oh, you know, the guys are going to wake up. It's 3-1. They'll win a game. There's no logical way for me to look at these games of what's happened and put any money on Philadelphia. The Islanders have dominated third periods. Even if the games were level going into the third period, they've outscored the Flyers by a ton in the third period. I just can't put any lettuce on Philly based on what I've seen thus far. Make a case for Philly if you can.
Two words, Carter Hart. That's the only chance they have. He's going to be back in the net. Philly in any individual game so far has not given you more than one good period. It was like the second period of game one, the first period of game two, you know, it's like they give you one period. So that means that Carter Hart's going to have to steal the other two periods for them. So that's the only chance that they have to win this game and force game 6 and, you know, make the Islanders sweat a little bit. Carter Hart, two words.
I was going to say Carter Hart and Kevin Hayes. I don't know why I'm thinking Kevin Hayes could be a big-time player in this game, but I think what you said earlier, Pete, they don't have their top guys going. They might be a little bit over the hill here, and it's going to have to be someone like a big offseason acquisition in Kevin Hayes to get this thing done. So I'm not making a case for the Flyers here. I think it would be ridiculous to pony up and bet on them tonight. Unless they're major underdogs, in which case – throw $10 on it, but I can't imagine that they're that big underdogs.
No, they're not. The price has been pretty fair throughout. The Islanders haven't been big favorites. Flyers haven't been big underdogs. In fact, the Flyers opened up as -110 favorites tonight, and the Islanders, with everyone betting them, because there's just no reason to bet the Flyers based on what we've seen, other than Carter Hart. Like you mentioned, that is the only way they can win this game is if Carter Hart plays miraculously. And Kevin Hayes has had chance after chance after chance if he starts burying some more of them. But, yeah, no, I mean, it just – you can't take the Flyers. In this game, what I would do, actually, I honestly think I would take the under the Flyers goal total. Under the Flyers goal total, which is 2.5, I would take under that. Wow. I think that's a pretty good bet at -125. I like that play. The Flyers haven't shown me that they can score consistently. Maybe tonight they go off they go nuts and score, but you know what? Based on what I'm seeing, under 2.5. I like it.
That makes sense. And yeah, based on how things are going, like say the Flyers spot themselves a 2-0 lead in the first period, I'm still not confident that they're going to finish that thing off at all. And another guy, like I was talking about, I was on Giroux and Konechny, who have been bad this playoffs. Where's Voracek gone? He had such a great early bit of the playoffs, round plus, including the round robin, and now he has no points in this series. And this is a thing, like you could always say with Boston and some of these guys, like, oh, at least Chara has won the cup before. At least some, like these guys like Giroux and Voracek have been, you know, just teetering on the edge of the postseason every year. They haven't ever won anything in their careers, and now they seem like they're a little over the hill, which puts Philly in a really tough spot moving forward.
Now, making a case for Vancouver to win tonight, I think that it starts with someone else scoring besides Bo Horvat. I think when you look at their roster, they've got to get some goals from Brock Besser. Elias Pettersson has been great. He's been a walking highlight reel. But we got to put the puck in the back of the net here, Pete. And I think when you rely on a guy like Bo Horvat too much, he's a sneaky player, right? He can score some gritty goals. He can score on the power play. But this has got to be a team effort here against a team like Vegas who has so many deep lines that can score. They honestly, Pete, they have a 30-goal scorer pretty much on line 1 through 3, this Vegas team, if Alex Tuch is healthy for a full season. So that is very hard to compete against, especially if you're only getting real scoring from one line in Vancouver.
Right. Vegas can match Vancouver's top six. Vegas's scoring defense is a lot better than Vancouver's, who's pretty much just Quinn Hughes when he's going. And yeah, the fact that Pacioretty is going like this, I don't think we mentioned him yesterday, but Pacioretty is getting back to that elite form right now. He's got like 4 goals in the past 5 games or something like that. He had 2 goals the last game. So he's producing points. He's back to his tip-top shape, and that's bad news for the Canucks, who even if they match him, right, Vegas's goaltending and Vegas's scoring defense are a lot better than Vancouver's. So that's like the best case. They match the scoring, and then they still are at a disadvantage.
I just, again, I can't imagine betting on this team tonight, Vancouver. I can't imagine if I'm drafting in DFS. Like, am I really going to stack up the Vancouver top line against Vegas, especially if they're starting Lehner? No way. If I'm being honest, I'm taking the Vegas guys, Pete. I don't care if I'm going overboard with them. If I've got like 4 Golden Knights in the lineup tonight, I don't care. I can't see it any other way.
This game is just a complete stay away. The Canucks had the opportunity there. Up 3-2 last game in the third period, and they got their doors blown off in the third period. They ended up losing the game, what, 5-3 or something like that. I can't make a case for the Canucks other than the price is so juicy at plus 200. But, I mean, in my heart of hearts, I don't see it happening. I don't see the Canucks winning the game. The thing you take in this game based on what we've seen is the over. I mean, no one has been able to stop anyone, and the goals have just gone, with the exception, I think, of game 4 or so, it was 3-0 or something like that. The total's gone over every single game. So that, but to me, there's nothing here in this game that is intriguing to me.
Well, I think that Robin Lehner is probably going to be back in the net after Fleury got the win on the second of a back-to-back. But I was actually looking big picture, Robin Lehner, how good he's been since being traded to the Knights. He's 10-2, 9-26, and 3 shutouts, including 2 of them in this series, right? So Robin Lehner is a big threat to them as well, the Canucks' underdog appeal here. I do think Vancouver could win the game. Lehner has been prone to a bad game here and there or a bad goal here and there. But, you know, it's not going any deeper than 6, that's for sure. And once you get to 6 and 7, you get to the back-to-back scenario where it would be so tough for Vancouver to reel off 3 straight wins. I hate to say there's no chance it's going to happen, but there's probably no chance it's going to happen.
There's no chance. I'll say it for you, Pete. There's absolutely no chance. And let's look forward here real quick, and then we'll wrap it up because we don't have much else to say. But Vegas, I'm going to go right to the final. Vegas-Tampa is going to be – I'm going to jump right through the conference final. Doesn't matter. Vegas and Tampa are on a collision course. I thought Vegas and Colorado were going to be on a collision course. Maybe they still are. Maybe they still are. If that's the case, that will be a great series also, I think. But Vegas and Tampa has shown throughout these playoffs from beginning to end that they are the cream. They are the two best teams, and I want to see both of them – in the final. I hope we get it. Hockey fans deserve it. I know this sport is prone to some upsets and some weird wonky things happening, but I hope both these teams find their way in the final because that will be a great series. Great series.
Before we get too far ahead, I agree. That's going to be the final for sure. But I do have to say congratulations to the Canucks for being one of the last 7 teams in this postseason. That is insane when you think about how that team was
built. The future's bright.
Right. They're keeper league-wise, dynasty-wise, regular fantasy draft-wise, this team is going to be the cream of the crop for the next 5-10 years. So I just want to say, before we get too negative here, that team is stacked. It's so good to see that them get this experience. And hey, Pete said it, Lehner's susceptible to a bad game. They could hang around in the series. We could be talking later in the week. Who's winning game 7? Stranger things have happened.
And I think all Canucks fans need to apologize to Jim Benning, okay? Because Jim Benning got a lot of heat in Vancouver for every single thing he was doing, all the moves he was making, all the draft picks. It looks like it's going to work out. Rob is 100% right. This team is going to be very, 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 very good in the West for a long time to come. Pedersen is, I mean, what a talent that guy is. And then Quinn Hughes on top of it. I mean, those two players alone, you're going to be in the mix for a while.
Quinn Hughes broke Pavel Bure's record, franchise record for points by a rookie in the postseason. Pavel Bure, okay? This is a defenseman. They play different positions, Quinn Hughes does. So just throwing that out there too.
That's incredible. That I can't even believe that. I mean, people who are listening to our podcast may not know who Pavel Bure is, but he was an offensive rocket man. I mean, he was a show on ice. And for a defenseman to match him, that's incredible. It goes to show you how much the game has changed throughout the last, two decades or so.
Yeah, and I think we've seen encouraging things from Brock Besser in the playoffs. Bo Horvat, of course, is their captain, so they labeled him that over Pedersen, who's the up-and-coming superstar. But Horvat went ahead and is leading the NHL in goals this postseason. So they have a lot to offer in the years to come. It's going to be a flat cap. It's going to be, should they sign Markstrom? Should they bring back Toffoli? There are still going to be some questions when things wrap up this year for Vancouver. But having that core in place, like Colorado does, we might be seeing a lot of Colorado Avalanche, Vancouver Canucks, Western Conference final matchups in the next couple of years, right?
If you're enjoying the playoff episodes, please leave us a 5-star review on whichever platform you're listening to. I'm at NHL Reese, Pete is at NHL Jensen, and Bob's at Airchecked.
Good stuff. So we'll talk to you again later in the week. NHL Fantasy on Ice, thanks for checking in. Hopefully some Game 7s here on tap, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, leave a review, okay? Leave a review. Do it. Don't say it. Do it. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you all real soon.